But I started my activism with, as a college student, going to California and working the picket lines in La Paz, and then going down to the fields to work the picket lines with Cesar Chavez and Dolores. And they didn't know me because there were just thousands of people coming out to help. But it indelibly changed my life. And so I came back here, ran the state boycott for 2 years for non-union grapes and wine. And that's the reason why I'm here, still working on these things. And so I was really honored when Dolores agreed to endorse my candidacy. Some of you may know, but maybe some of you don't know. In 2 weeks, she'll be going to Washington. She'll be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Obama. Which is, of course, the highest honor that any civilian can earn in America. So, Dolores Huerta.
Well, thank you, Marty. Thank you. Well, I want to thank all of you for what you're doing right now. I mean, it's so important that, you know, we do this work to get Marty elected, and that we know the Congress really needs him, you know. Yeah. We have a Congress that is kind of stuck and dysfunctional, and, you know, they have a lot of new people out there that don't know what they're doing. And so we need somebody out there that knows what he's doing, right? Somebody that has the experience and that can really get things done. So
let's go back to when you were a senator. What I remember is you being involved with domestic violence, with working on domestic violence issues.
Well, one of my first bills was the spousal rape law. New Mexico is one of five states left that still allowed spousal rape. Women were treated as chattel. And it was, frankly, to this day, the toughest piece of legislation I ever had to pass. Once you got it to the floor, it passed overwhelmingly, but the behind-the-scenes fighting was really horrific. So today, it's illegal to rape your spouse, thank goodness. And then I was also proud to co-sponsor the legislation to require mammography by insurance companies. And they fought tooth and nail. They said, we can't afford to do this. I said, no, you have to do it. And I'm proud of that legislation because I think thousands, if not tens of thousands, of lives have been saved. And then, of course, as mayor, I had the first cabinet that was fully 50% female. We started the Family Advocacy Center, which is one of the best one-stop shops for violence in the United States of America today. And then the... Sure. Well, and also for... Well, you prevent it by... when someone has been victimized, by gathering evidence, by starting the healing process, by having effective prosecution. Because I think if there are consequences for conduct, it changes conduct. Mm-hmm. And then the mayor's annual conference on women, where we try to connect women to workforce and the real issues of workforce, how to finance a house, how to prepare resumes, how to present best in interviews and be effective and hone the training that we all need in day-to-day living. So I'm proud to have a record that I think stands me well. I think it's why Lily Ledbetter has endorsed my candidacy. I know it's one of the reasons why Dolores Huerta has endorsed my candidacy. And what else could I do? I'm the father of a 21-year-old daughter.
Is she really 21?
Yes.
That's great.
She's right there.
That's great.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
Well, I want to thank you for coming back on Women's Focus. It's been a long time since we've heard from you.
Well, it's good to be back.
It was your first mayoral campaign, I think.
Mm-hmm. I know you went away. I didn't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good. Well, tell me what brings you to New Mexico.
Well, I'm here to campaign for Marty Chavez for the U.S. Congress. I've known Marty for many, many years, and when he asked me to endorse him, I just did it without any hesitation. We worked with Marty. Of course, he was, as a young person, he came out there and volunteered to work with the Farm Workers Union. Over the years, I've worked with him on different issues when we were trying to get the Cesar Chavez Street here in New Mexico, which finally happened and when he was mayor. And also, we dealt with him on the issues of trying to get low-income housing, which he helped us do here for the National Farm Workers Service Center. And then also during the political campaigns, he and I both endorsed Hillary Clinton, so we were together, working on that campaign.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Congress today? About the House, especially, mm-hmm. with the Democrats not being in majority, do you think that it's the right time to go there? It's the right time to try to get into office in Congress?
Well, we hope that with this next election, I hope that the people in the country have realized that some of those folks that they elected were not very good. They're people that just say no to everything and are trying to roll back the progress that has been made here in the last 30-some years. So I think Marty would be the perfect person for the Congress just because he has all this experience as being a mayor, being a state senator, he knows how the legislative process works, and I think he would. We need leadership in the Congress. Sometimes some of the new people get elected, they really don't know how the whole system works, and I think that he has the self-confidence that he would be able to do a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the war on women a little bit earlier. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, who would think that in this day and age that they're talking about contraception? And some of the bills that have been passed in some of these state houses are so extreme, like in Texas, you know, wanting to actually insert an ultrascope into a woman, you know, penetrate her just so she can, so they can hear the heartbeat of the child, you know, if a woman wants an abortion. I mean, that is so insane. I mean, they would never think of doing that to a man, for instance, you know. I mean, people would be in an uproar about that. But you could have these state legislators that, you know, here we have an economic crisis. You know, we've got the war, and they're busy focusing on women's right to contraception. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. We have to, you know, the jobless issue, the, you know, people losing their homes, and they're worried about women's right to choose, you know, and gay rights and things of that nature, when they should be focusing on the bigger pictures. So it's not the current. I've never seen all of the Congress, because we have some good people in the Congress, so you can't paint them all with the same brush. But at least those people that are concentrating on what they call these social conservative issues, they're not doing the people's work, and they don't belong there. The Congress, especially the House of Representatives, these are the representatives of the people. These are the ones that are closest to their communities, and they're not doing the job of representing their communities. They're busy working for the Republican agenda. And what they should probably do is get a job with the Republican Party. You want to work for the ideology of the Republican Party? Go work for the Republican Party. But get out of the Congress, because you're not representing the majority of the people that you were elected to represent. Mm-hmm.
Tell me what your days are like now. Are you active in union issues still, and farm worker issues?
Well, I do farm worker issues, but not with the union. I left the Farm Workers Union in 2002, and I started a foundation for community organizing, because I felt that while, you know, getting union jobs is extremely important, and organizing for union is very important. At the same time, in our, especially in the Latino community, we have so many issues in our immigrant communities that were not being met. And so I decided to go back to, this is the area where Cesar and I started. We both started out as community organizers. And so this is what I've done. You know, going back and reminding people that they have power, you know, but that they've got to take responsibility, and that nothing will change unless they change it. And the only way they can change is to get together with other people and form an organization. And when they can do this, then they have a voice. Then they can make things happen, but they've got to take responsibility, and they've got to do it, because they can't wait for anybody else to come in and do it for them. They have to take responsibility, and they have to take action, and they've got to work with other people. The results have been amazing. Basically, I raise money, hire organizers, send them into a community, and you know, get people together, make them assess their neighborhood, what is it that they want, set their priorities, and then make an action plan to go out there and do it. And I mean, one of our communities actually passed a bond issue to get a gymnasium for their middle school. And another community, we had a 1 cent sales tax increase. It raised $1 million for their city, you know, to pay for some of the deficits for the recreation and for police and fire control. We have another community that got a sewer drainage for 26 homes that didn't have any kind of a sewer. 14 streets with sidewalks and gutters where they didn't have them, and street lights that have been fixed. A neighborhood park in another community. Basically, we're in 7 different communities, and we were fighting for the health care bill. We were able to get 2,000 postcards to our congressperson, who was being very reluctant. He was one of those blue dog Democrats. They call him yellow dog, right? Yeah, and because he didn't want to vote for the health care bill. We got 2,000 postcards in a matter of 2 weeks. We presented them to him, picketed his fundraiser, picketed his offices, and eventually did a fast. But we got him to. But it's all people power. So basically, what we do is hire organizers to go out there and build that grassroots, indigenous people power that can they then go to the agencies and the politicians to make sure they do the right thing. And this year, we're concentrating on education because we have so many kids that are dropping out or being suspended or being expelled from the schools, and we're working on parent engagement and on health issues and, you know, getting people out there to become citizens, register to vote, and vote, because you can't have a democracy if people don't vote. And that's kind of the situation that we're in our country right now. And this is what our organizers do. They do a lot of great things, and but they do it. Their job is to organize people to volunteer. And in the by volunteering, they really develop the leadership that they need to carry on the fights that they need.
Mm-hmm. Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Well, I'm always optimistic because I always believe in people. But we know that the challenges are so huge right now that we've gotten so much corporate control of our society, of our country. And it's very hard to go against that, you know, with the corporate control of the media, for instance, you know. So it's very hard for people to get the truth about what's going on in our country. When we have a situation that we have more people in jail in the United States than we have in China or India, where those populations are billions of people. And we have a prison industry that's making money off of the bodies of our people, you know. And it's so hard for people to get the truth, you know, because you don't really get the truth about what's going on. For instance, they just had a big conference about Latin America, where Obama was at, Secretary Labor Solis, and many other leaders of the United States were there at this conference. What happened there? Nobody knows, because all we heard about is the Secret Service scandal. What happened at the conference? I mean, did something happen there? I mean, did these Latin American countries do some business there that we should be aware of? We don't know, you know. And unfortunately, I think that people are not getting the truth. So we tell people, you gotta don't listen to Fox News. Watch Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Watch Colbert. Watch Jon Stewart, you know. Listen to Amy Goodman, you know, to get the real news of what's going on in our country, because you're not going to get it from the corporate media.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I just want to say about women, okay? We're talking about women.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say that also, in terms of the women's issues, we know that we're way behind in terms of representation, you know. And I know that we do have a woman running in this race, where Marty is also running, and we have other good candidates that are running. And I guess I'm endorsing Marty not only because he's a personal friend and someone I've known for many years, but I believe that with the experience that he has as being a mayor of Albuquerque and being a senator, that he's really got the kind of experience that's needed at this moment in time in the Senate. And I'm sure that the other folks that are running, you know, the younger folk, and they, you know, there's going to be plenty of job opportunities for them in terms of, and when I mean job opportunities, I mean in terms of representing people. Mm-hmm. Because I think anybody that runs for office is really doing, when they commit their lives for public service, I think that is a really wonderful thing, and they need to be commended for that. So I hope that, you know, if they don't win, that they still continue to think in ways that they can serve the public in terms of being public officials. So I commend them also.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.